All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 22 tonight. We're cruising now. Yep, we got 21 verses left.
Amen.
21 verses. Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks, we'll be done. No. Karen said, what are you going to do, start over? No, I'm not going to start over. All right, we have been looking at, since the beginning of chapter 21, we have been looking at the city, the heavenly city, the city, the New Jerusalem, the city of gold, as it is sometimes referred to. And we have seen some amazing things about this city. And last week we saw verse 22 through verse 27, and we saw how that the Lord and all of his glory are going to be in that city. And we will come to him. The gates will be open all the time. They will never be shut, and there is no night there. And so we don't have to worry about getting knocked in the head if we go through the gates. There's no sin there, so you don't have to worry about any of that stuff that goes on today. In most cities, you don't dare walk through the city after dark. But in this city, there will be no dark. All right, the Lord is the light of it, and the glory of God will shine throughout it, and the Lord will be the light thereof. All right, now if you look down now at chapter 22, you're going to continue what John saw when he was told to look at the city, and he's very John is very vivid. Starting in verse 22 and going through chapter 22, he's very vivid in his description of the things that he saw. All right, so let's begin reading here in verse 1, and we'll read down just a little bit tonight. But look at verse 1, please. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more," what?
Curse.
Now, where were we introduced to that curse? Do you remember that? You remember that curse? All the way back in Genesis, right? We were introduced to that when Adam disobeyed God. In Genesis chapter 3, and God pronounced a curse upon the devil, and then he pronounced a curse upon Adam, and he pronounced a curse upon Eve, and then he pronounced a curse upon the earth. And so that's why we are like we are. We have the curse of sin upon us. When we are born into this world, we are born with a sin nature. That sin nature drives us to sin, the devil tries to use that sin nature against us to enslave us, to entrap us, anything he can do to, I guess you'd say, control you and your flesh, well, the devil will gladly do it. And so the day is going to come at the end of the millennium that when this new Jerusalem is introduced, and when it comes down out of heaven and hovers over the city of Jerusalem, the earthly city of Jerusalem, we are told in verse 3, there shall be no more curse. Gone. Gone. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, right now we live by faith. All right, the Bible's very clear about that. The just shall live by faith. That's one of the sub-themes of the Bible. Four times that's mentioned in our Bibles. And so we now live by faith, but the day is coming when our faith is going to be turned into sight. And we're going to be able to see our Lord's face. We're going to see him face to face. I like that thought. Can you imagine seeing the Lord Jesus face to face? And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All right, that's a description that is given here. All right, now let's pray, and then we will look at these five verses tonight. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for the opportunity we have to open your eternal word. And I pray that you will bless what we're about to look at. I pray that you will help me as I speak, and I pray that you will bless our folks as they listen. And Father, just help us to glean from the Word of God tonight those things which will strengthen and help us as Christians, and help us to have more faith and be more convicted in our faith. And Father, I just ask you to fill me with your Spirit and help me tonight. And I pray that the Lord Jesus will be lifted up and exalted, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. All right, we have been looking at John's impressions, the impressions that he had when he looked upon that city that was shown to him. And we saw all these things in verse 22 through 27 from the 21st chapter. And then he just continues on, okay? He's not through seeing, and the angel is not finished with revealing to him and showing him all the wonderful things that are there. It must be something that is just absolutely beautiful to look upon. As John is standing there looking at it, he does his best to describe it for us. Says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, a pure river. Now, you know, sometimes you can go down in the Caribbean, and sometimes you can go out in Hawaiian Islands and some of those islands in the Pacific, those little volcanoes that rise up, and sometimes around them you can see crystal clear water. All right, but now you don't ever see a clear river. All right, just think about it. You don't see clear rivers. Now you might see a clear trout stream, but you're not going to see clear rivers. They're always collecting dirt and mud and debris and everything else. All right, they're always carrying it with them. And that's just one of the things about our river system. Now, I noticed that when we were down in Charleston, the Kanawha River runs through the city of Charleston, and it's a wide river. It's a pretty good-sized river. They actually put steam coal ships on there. They haul coal out of the mines on barges. And you'll see the barges going from the mining area up to the east, and they're going west in the river down towards John Amos Power Plant, where they burn coal, at least right now, where they burn coal in order to produce electricity. And they've had a lot of trouble, though, with the river. Flooding, a lot of trouble through the years. I can remember when I was a child seeing terrible, terrible floods because of that river. Well, back in the last century, they came in and they built some locks, several different locks, and that way they can release the water gradually. And they came above the locks and they dredged the river bottom and made the river bottom a lot deeper so that it would hold more water without going out of its banks. And because of those locks, the river does not run as strong as it used to run. And you can notice that when you go over the bridges or when you're riding alongside of it, which we did both. And I looked down on the river and I said, wow, look how clear that water is. Because I don't remember it being real clear when I was a child. I just don't remember it being that way. And one of the reasons is because of all the creeks and the streams that come off of those hills down there and out of those valleys down there, and they just bring all their debris and mud and everything else with them. But now, because of the way that they have taken care of the river, it's much more clean. It's much more clear. And Karen and I commented to one another about that. And it really was something to look at this time. Well, the good thing is that that John looked at this city and he saw things. And I remember hearing one of my professors when I was working on my master's degree, and he was talking about John and this experience that he had. And of course he said, now I understand. He said, don't get me wrong, I completely understand that what John gave us here in the book of the Revelation is by divine inspiration. He said, but I can just see John standing there and looking at this beautiful city that he was being shown. And as he looks at this beautiful city, he just exclaims to himself in his excitement, wow, it was like that there was a pure river of water. And it came right out of the throne. And he went through all this dramatic reading, like portrayal of what John saw, and it made it just seem to come alive to us as we were sitting there absorbing everything that that fellow was saying. And John, you can just almost hear the excitement in his voice. So what we have here in verse 1 through verse 5 are basically John's final impressions of that city. And he is just beside himself as he looks at this wonderful, wonderful city with his eyes as he is looking upon it for the first time. All right, now just notice a couple of things. First of all, John speaks of the life of the city. The life of the city. Now look at verse 1. The Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life." Folks, we all know that we have to have water to live. We have to have water to live. We all know that. Okay? And so John sees the water of life. He sees the life of this city. Now, most, think about it, most, not all, but most of the earth's greatest cities, largest cities, and most functioning cities are built along the banks of either important rivers or lakes. Now, when you think about it, that's pretty much the case. Just about all of the cities that are built or were built along the Mississippi, they're all big and thriving cities. All right, and it's because they get their life from the river. It is the river where they ship commerce and where they receive commerce, and so the lakes and the rivers are important, and it's been that way for as long as anyone can remember. I mean, Rome was built on a river, and Egypt was built on a river, and it just goes on and on and on. The beautiful rivers and the cities built on and around those rivers, or a beautiful lake, like you've got Detroit and Lake Erie. You've got Buffalo. You've got Chicago and Lake Michigan. You've got Milwaukee, and it just on and on and on. And the river and the lakes are very, very important to man's expansion and man's knowledge and what man has been able to accomplish. And then the cities are built, and then strangely, they become quickly polluted by the very city to which they gave rise. Isn't that ironic? You know, I can remember them saying that they were going, when I graduated from high school in 1972, they had this commission that was started. And the whole plan was to recondition the river, and they reconditioned the sides of it and brought rock in and put the rocks in, and I already told you they dredged it out down there, and they put sidewalks and paths and bike paths and all this kind of thing, and then they went to work on the reclamation of the water, trying to clean it up. and they found that several of the coal mines were running their waste into the river. They found out that several of the other businesses were shoving their waste into the river, and so they clamped down on all of that, and now. The water is, as I said a little while ago, it's beautiful. All right. So what happens is the people congregate in the cities. The cities grow. They use the water in order to expand their horizons and to grow. And then strangely, the very waterways that they use become polluted, and then you've got a whole new set of problems. Now, notice, though, here is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You may have heard a couple of years ago now, it was on the national news, but there was a plant. Just a Union Carbide plant, I think, or one of those, FMC or one of those. There's a lot of those chemical companies down in the Charleston area along that river. And there is a river that feeds into the Kanawha River that comes out of the mountains, and it's called the Elk River. And just a little bit up the Elk River, there was a plant. And somehow or another, somebody flipped the wrong switch. And they ended up pouring hundreds of thousands of gallons of toxic pollution into the Elk River. And, of course, that just went right down into the Kanawha River. And they had cleaned up the river to where they were able to take water from it and use it. They could purify the water easily and were using it to for drinking water for the entire Kanawha Valley. Well, all of a sudden now they come out with a news flash and said, don't drink the water. Don't drink your tap water. And the state had great big trucks that they used to plow snow with in the wintertime, but they filled them full of bottles of water and were just going everywhere and delivering water to everybody in the Kanawha Valley. Don't drink the water. Don't wash your dishes. Don't take a bath. I mean, this is toxic. You don't want this stuff on you, and you certainly don't want it in you. And it was a mess for months down there, and created all kinds of problems and lawsuits and everything else. Well, notice that here is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You see, folks, this is not some muddy little stream coming out of the throne. No, sir. No, sir. This is not some filthy stream that is flowing here. When I was a little guy, our dad, Mike and I, he'd take Mike and I fishing up in the mountains. We'd go trout fishing, and our favorite river. We went up there one day, and our favorite river it was blocked off. And so we asked a fella that we found there in the area, said, why they got the river blocked off? And they said, well, one of the coal mines is leaching, and they don't want people up there. And we said, well, what happened to all the fish that they stocked last week? And he said, oh, it killed the fish. Killed the fish. So they have since treated that water, that's where I took Pastor Stainer when he wanted to go trout fishing. But they have since treated the water, but nonetheless, it was toxic at that time, especially to fish. But notice that here is a pure crystal river containing the very essence of life itself. That's amazing, folks. We've got to have water to live. And notice where this living water comes from. It flows from the throne of God and is a source of light to those who love the Lord. Ma'am, what a place this is going to be, don't you think? All right, hold your place here and go back for a moment to the Gospel of John. Go back to the Gospel of John and turn to chapter 7, John's Gospel and chapter 7. And I want to read you a couple of verses here, or one verse. All right, we will start in, let's start in verse 38. All right, it says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, you see that? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, notice John put a parenthesis and he starts a sentence and then he closes with parentheses. In other words, John is explaining to us what the Lord Jesus meant in verse 38. And so if you look at verse 39, it says, parentheses, "But this spake he of the," who?
Spirit.
And notice that's capitalized, so that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so let's go back now to verse 38. "He that believeth on me," and this is the key right here, folks, "as the scripture hath said." Now, how are you going to know what the scripture says about Jesus? You got to read your Bible. Now, watch. As you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit of God who is in you interprets the Bible, teaches you the Bible, shows you Christ. That's how you learn about the Lord Jesus. All right, read on. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." But folks, the Lord Jesus is glorified now. All right? He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. And then he ascended back to the Father to take a seat at the Father's right hand. And then you remember in Revelation 1, when John saw him, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like shining like brass. I mean, he was glorified when John saw him. He was glorified. So now he is glorified, folks. So now that he is glorified, the very moment that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moves in and takes up residency in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. The Holy Spirit of God. And you'll remember that the Lord Jesus told the disciples, he said, "I will not leave you without a comforter." He said, "If I go, I'm going to send back another comforter." Now, who was that comforter? It was the Holy Spirit. And what did he say about the Holy Spirit? He said, "And when he has come, he will guide you in all truth." So here we are now as Christians, and we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. And we sit down then and read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the book, teaches us the book as we read it. That's amazing, isn't it? That's just absolutely phenomenal when you think about what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. Now, you say, boy, I wish he'd teach me. Read your Bible. You get in your Bible, he will teach you. Just recently, it wasn't like Sunday, but it was one day last week. I was talking to one of our church members, and that church member said, I wish I knew the Bible like you do. And I said, well, you can. And he said, oh, but you're the pastor. I said, so? There's not two sets of guidelines, one for the preacher and one for you. You see, what's good for me is also good for you, and what's good for you is also good for me. And I said, the reason that I know as much Bible or about the Bible as I do is because for the last 50 years, I have devoted my life to reading and studying and learning this Bible. And so it's not me that has learned all this. It's the Holy Spirit of God that has taught me. And he'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for you. Now, I've also had folks say, but you know, Pastor, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I don't retain stuff like I used to retain. Write it down. Get you a wide margin Bible and write it down in your Bible. I mean, if you see something and the Lord blesses and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, write it down so you don't lose it. That's what I have to do now. If I don't, I'll forget. Last Wednesday, there was something I wanted to say. I thought of it while I was given the lesson, but I didn't want to break the thought I was in. I chase enough rabbits as it is. So I said, store that now. Don't forget it. Well, I forgot it. And I was riding home, and I said, oh, man, I forgot to say that. And then I thought today, driving home, what was it that I wanted to say? And I declare I don't remember. But it was good, folks. Would you just take my word for it? It was awesome. All right, and if I think of it again, so help me, I'll call all of you and let you know what it was. Mercy. My mind's a terrible thing to waste.
Amen.
Yeah, you ought to know. All right, so a river that's used to symbolize the Holy Spirit. All right, now let me have you turn let's go back to the Psalms for just a moment. Let me show you another thing about a river. All right, let's go first of all to Psalm 36. All right, Psalm 36. Psalm 36, okay, look please at verse 8, and the Bible here says, they shall be abundantly, what's the next word?
Satisfied.
They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. In other words, the goodness of the Lord with you and I as we are in fellowship with God and reading the Word and growing and having the Holy Spirit as our teacher. The psalmist here says that you will be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the house of the Lord. You'll be abundant. What you're going to get from God when you walk with Him, you're going to be satisfied with that. It's going to bless your heart. That's what he's saying. All right? Now, let me read on because you got to see the word river. Verse 8, middle of the verse, and thou shalt make them drink of the what? River of thy pleasures. Pleasures. Now hang on to that word right there. Pleasures. All right, now go back to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. All right, now watch. Watch. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Watch this now. Watch this. But his delight is in the what?
Law.
What's the law? Right here. Your Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now watch this. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall, what's the next word?
Prosper.
All right, so you've got two verses here in the psalm where Psalms, where the psalmist is showing us what a symbol of the river, what the river in you, what the Holy Spirit in you produces. And he produces, first of all, pleasure, satisfaction, joy. And then secondly, he produces prosperity. You know, it's interesting that these are two great magnets used by Satan to present to men in order to draw them away from God. You see that? Pleasure and prosperity. That's what Satan uses to get you away from God. And God says, hey, you get next to me. You get up close to me. You walk with me. You get in my word. And the river that is in you, the Holy Spirit that is in you, that Holy Spirit is going to bless you, and you are going to have pleasure, joy in the Lord, happiness, and you're going to prosper. Prosper. Now, that does not necessarily mean that you're going to have the Midas touch, but you can be happy without stuff. You can be. You can be. Well, I think the application is clear, folks. It is only as the authority of the throne of God and the Lamb is owned that true pleasure and prosperity can be attained. The only way that we can have real joy, wonderful joy. The only way that we can prosper in this world is to have a walk with God and that Holy Spirit of God teaching us the things of the Lord. Life in God's city throughout all eternity, folks, will be characterized by purity, by pleasure, and by prosperity. But each one of these is linked, though, to a right relationship with God's throne. Got to be right with the Lord. Got to walk with God. Got to get in this book and read it and love it and learn it and hide it in your heart so that you don't sin against God. Amen. All right, let's go back over to Revelation 22. And I want to show you this before I forget it. All right, look at verse 5. I'm going to skip. I'll come back and get the rest of this. We only got one done. All right, there's four things that impressed John about this city. And we only got one done tonight, and that is the life of the city. He was impressed by the life of the city. But now, look down, please, at verse 5. And I want to show you one more because this just blessed my heart. And I don't have it written down, but I saw it. And I'm going to share it with you before I forget it. All right, look at verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle. Neither, in other words, you don't need a flashlight. You don't need a light bulb. You don't need any source of light. You don't need a kerosene rag around a stick, all right? You don't need any of that. You need no candle. You don't even need the light of the sun. You won't need any of that. Why? For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All right, now look at that. Think, okay? There is no night there. There is no night there. Those of you that have been sick, you know that when the sun goes down, you get more congested, don't you? Your aches magnify. Your pains increase. Your restlessness increases. Your fever spikes in the night. But there is no night there. All right, now think. All right, look at me. Everybody look at me. We all get to heaven on the same day. Right? There's no night there. There's no night there. So we all get to heaven on the same day. I tell you, I about had a spell when I thought of that. That's good. We all get to heaven on the same day. There's no night there. Praise the Lord for that. All right, time's up. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all these wonderful truths that are in these verses. And Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to read them, and thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And Father, I pray that you will just bless everything's been said this evening. Help us to see the glory of that city. Oh my, what a glorious place that's going to be. And Father, we're so thankful for the river that will flow from the throne. And Father, I pray that as we think on these things, that we'll just get more and more excited about that day when we all get to heaven. What a day that's going to be. And I just pray that you will bless your word to our hearts and help us to love you more as a result of what we have learned this evening. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.